the World, I'm John Batchelor. Caracas, Venezuela. The illegitimate government of Nicolas Maduro attending the COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt in these last days. There have been episodes where Mr. Maduro approaches, say, John Kerry, the representative from the United States, or other members of the world community attending, with the intention of improving the climate. Mary Anastasia O'Grady writing about Caracas and about Mr. Maduro. The word hypocrite is not adequate to this. Mary, a very good evening to you. The illegitimate government led by Mr. Maduro is no eco-warrior. It is not even green. Is that clear to the people that whom he approached in Sharm el-Sheikh? Was that clear to John Kerry and, say, Mr. Macron, who spoke with him in a straightforward fashion? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I do think that John Kerry had great reservations in talking to Maduro, watching the short video clip that I saw. Quite apart from the environmental disaster that this Venezuelan government, really since the days of Hugo Chavez, who took office in 1999, quite apart from the environmental problems, you know, the human rights record in Venezuela is so abysmal. And even a guy like John Kerry, who's mostly obsessed with the environment, has to know about this. I mean, you would have to have your head in the sand not to know that Maduro is a gross violator of human rights. And as I say, when he was greeted by Maduro in Egypt, I thought he looked a little reluctant to talk to him. Emmanuel Macron, who runs France now, seemed a little bit more gullible. He chatted with Maduro through the translator, and they talked about how Macron was eager to help the region and so forth. And I thought really made Macron look pretty pathetic. And again, both for reasons of the human rights record, but also the environmental record of the Venezuelan dictatorship is just horrific.
Because we need to put these two things on the table in front of us, human rights and environmental rights, we'll speak to the human rights first, because the conditions in Venezuela, it's said to be brutal, in that more than 6 million people have fled. But your column is detailed about human rights violations that approach the sadism that we associate with the 20th century in the Soviet Union or the German and Italian dictators. Is this well known, Mary, the torture, the asphyxiation, the electric shocks?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think that this is anything. Even the UN under Michelle Bachelet, who was very reluctant to criticize Cuba and its friends in the region, had a human rights report in 2019, which talked about the gruesome tactics they use, hanging people by their limbs, torturing them. And the prison conditions there are very well known. People have come out of there to tell the stories. So there's no secret about how Maduro stays in power. I mean, it's pure unadulterated repression. And that includes not just, you know, gunning down people in the streets and so forth, and using food as a political weapon, which is another pretty horrible practice of this regime, but also, the torture. And so no secrets there. I don't know what Macron was thinking when he was chit-chatting with Maduro. I don't even know what Maduro was doing in Egypt. I mean, they probably shouldn't be inviting these kinds of thugs to their meetings, but there you have it. It's a UN meeting, so everybody shows up.
Going to environmental rights, what is the Canaima National Park, a World Heritage Site, and how is it abused by the Maduro regime?
Well, the Canaima National Park is in the state of Bolivar, in a pretty remote area. Jungle area. There are indigenous people who live there. It also happens to be a place where there is apparently a lot of gold. And so the Maduro regime, lacking hard currency because the oil company PDVSA has been destroyed, and they don't really produce anything besides oil, and so they're hard up for hard currency. And so they've been using these illegal mining camps in the area to get gold out of the ground, and then they sell it in Turkey, and that's how they get dollars. But unfortunately, this mining is done sort of seat of the pants. I mean, there are people who go in there and they start going after the gold, and they don't do it in a way that protects the environment. And one of the big troubling aspects of the mining is that they use mercury to separate the gold from the rock. And I won't get into, you know, the science of it, but basically what happens is the mercury that they use also ends up being washed off the gold and running into the soil and into the water. So they're literally poisoning the whole area. And it has effects, you know, I think one of the reports I read, 120 kilometers from the site, you would still have the water running toxic because of this these mining operations.
And the abuse of the national park is one piece of the story. You also take me to Lake Maracaibo, and this has to do with, I believe, oil and the exploitation of the natural resources.
Well, in the state of Zulia, which is where Maracaibo is, there has always been a lot of oil exploration. And that was done not only by PDVSA, the state-owned oil company, but later on, foreign oil companies went in there and started going after oil. But of course, they were regulated because there was important to protect the lake and the safety of the people who live around the lake. And since Chavez basically expropriated and kicked out most of the foreign oil companies, it's just PDVSA. And then also operating at the lake were oil service companies and transportation companies that were contractors for PDVSA. And Hugo Chavez expropriated all their assets. And, you know, the Venezuelans took over, and they haven't been able to maintain the network of pipes under the water. So all of the pipes are leaking, they're damaged, they're broken. And this means oil spills and lots of oil basically turning up in Lake Maracaibo. It is an environmental disaster at this point. It turned black, and subsequently large parts of it have turned green from heavy algae buildup. And the fish have been killed, and the birds have been killed, and the people who live around the area have gotten sick. This is all laid at the feet of the Venezuelan dictatorship and the state-owned oil company.
Laying all these details out, as you do in your column for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, Mary, it is perplexing how it is that Maduro was attending the COP27.
Yeah.
And is there no governance at the UN to prevent such an outrage?
Well, apparently he can kind of just show up there and start talking. And what he did was he said, to some journalists when he first arrived that, you know, capitalism has been destroying the Amazon and the region and so forth. And so he was going to get together with the new president of Brazil. He's only the president-elect at this time because he hasn't been sworn in, but that would be Lula da Silva.
Right.
And the president of Colombia, former M19 guerrilla, Gustavo Petro. And he's going to lead an effort to demand reparations from the capitalist countries and get help to fix up all these parts of the environment that have been destroyed. It's really laughable. And you know, unless I guess you know something about what they've done, you might think, well, yeah, this is, you know, development is bad for the environment. But in fact, you know, developed countries do a much better job at caring for the environment than socialism. Socialists are notorious because they destroy wealth, they don't have the assets they need to protect the environment when they're extracting resources. And I think Venezuela is just a classic example of that problem.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady is the America's columnist and editor at the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.